astounding to me is that Dr. Carter even knows who I am, much less that I can call him my friend. Because he sets the standard, doesn't he? Through all the churches he's led, through his influence in Alabama Baptist life and Southern Baptist life, his impact as a teacher and a leader at Beeson Divinity School, and his impact on so many lives. Right here at First Baptist, you could never overestimate the impact of his leadership. Those 2 years that he spent as interim pastor before I had the opportunity to come and be your pastor, those were incredibly crucial days. He led this church through some of the most challenging years any church has ever encountered, and he did it with grace and love and spiritual power. No wonder when you think about Dr. Carter, you think about someone who has set the standard for what it means to be a preacher of the Word and an influence for Christ. What is it that's caused him to have so much impact over my life and your life and the lives of literally thousands of people who have known him and been touched by his ministry over the years? You know, I thought about that some after I left the other day, and I thought, well, I could say it was his personality, his devotion to the Word, his eloquence in preaching the Word, his openness to other people, his willingness to teach and encourage other leaders, and all of those things are true. But I really think the secret of his impact is very simple. It is that we have all had the opportunity to witness his walk with the Lord. We've had an opportunity to see a man who has lived out his faith consistently for years and years and years, and there's never been a time when you thought, well, what I hear him say and who I see him being are two different things. He is a seamless servant of God. And it just reminds me that there is no greater influence for Christ than a positive life that is lived for the Lord. That's why this morning, as I bring this series on power passages from the New Testament to a close, I want to focus on the passage we read together this morning from Colossians, because that's where the Bible says God is calling you and he's calling me to make our Christian character a priority in our lives. People around us all are searching for believers whose lives mirror what they say they believe. It's through your love and your assurance and your encouragement that other people get a glimpse of the Savior. It's your conviction and your consistency that challenges them to take your witness seriously. So this morning, I want to talk about what it means to live your life with Christian character, because that's what Paul tells us in Colossians. He talks about what it's like to be the kind of person that has an impact on others, not just for today and not just for tomorrow, but for a lifetime, whose example and testimony will make such a difference that people cannot help but to take your witness seriously, because they see what Jesus is like in you. And in Colossians, Paul talks to us about how to develop that kind of Christian character. So let's dive in and let's see what the Bible has to say. And it begins by saying this: Christian character is formed when you know what you believe. Paul wrote and said, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Knowledge of his will, wisdom, understanding. It is critical that you know what you believe as a follower of Jesus Christ. That you don't just kind of think about it or feel about it. That you know this is what it means to be a follower of Jesus. It is your spiritual knowledge that guides what you believe about God, about yourself, about what really matters, about how God wants you to live, about how you can know and follow him. In other words, It guides everything about who you are as a follower of Jesus Christ. The more you know about who He is and who you are and who you're called to be and how you're called to follow, the more your knowledge allows you to live with a solid Christian character. And you need to be a person of deep convictions. You need to be serious about what it means to call yourself a follower of Christ Jesus. The world is looking for people exactly like that, whose Christian faith and Christian example and Christian witness and Christian testimony are seamless. They all flow together and you don't see any cracks in between them. Most of us know that being a follower of Jesus is supposed to be a very serious thing. The more I know about Him, the more I am committed to following Him. And one of the goals of our Christian life is to know and to follow so that when I stand with character and with knowledge. This is who God has called me to be. You may have heard this past week about the church last Sunday in St. Paul, where demonstrators entered into the sanctuary in the middle of a worship service and disrupted everything and tried to turn a spiritual gathering into a political rally. Day or so after that happened, I heard someone on television and they said something like this: with what happened this past Sunday at that church, I would be reluctant to go back next Sunday. I would be afraid that the disruption is going to be even more violent than it was this time. I would be afraid to be there. And I thought to myself, you know, you couldn't keep me away with wild horses next Sunday. If someone came in and tried to turn a gathering in Jesus' name into something it's never supposed to be, as a follower, I know I'm supposed to be where God's people are. You know, it is kind of an interesting thing to me, I think, because we think about something like that, and we saw that on television, and we think, boy, that is Christian persecution. And 90% of the believers in the world would go, there's nothing to that. When you hear about what's happening with believers in Nigeria, when you hear what's going on with believers in Iran, when you recognize that all around the world there are people who name the name of Jesus and because of that they suffer imprisonment and death and deprivation. And yet what happens? Sunday by Sunday, day by day, they live out their faith. Why? Because they know. They know who God has called them to be. It might be dangerous sometimes, but it's not as dangerous as not standing for what you know you believe. One of the things we need to remember when we're developing Christian character is simply this: living as a Christian is not a casual thing. It is a decision to be led by the Lord and His Word. It's not a drop-in now and then kind of an experience. It is a commitment to be a follower of Christ. Long ago, Jesus told those who surrounded Him, "You count the cost before you decide to follow Me. You recognize the price, and then you come." In his book, Nothing to Fear, Barry Black, the chaplain of the Senate, quoted Jonathan Edwards, who wrote this: "Resolved never to do anything which I should be afraid to do if it were the last hour of my life." Isn't that good? Isn't that rich and strong? I don't want to do anything that if I knew the next thing I'm going to do is come face to face with the Lord, I would be ashamed for it to be known. And I believe with all of my heart, the world is full of hungry souls who are looking for people of Christian character who live out their faith in a day-to-day manner. They want to know what they believe, know that you know what you believe and you live it consistently. Because after all, Christian character means you live out what you know to be true. Yes, you want to be filled with knowledge and understanding, but you also want to experience it. Your faith is not something you leave behind when you exit the sanctuary. In fact, When you live with Christian character, your faith is something you cannot leave behind, because it is an essential, organic part of who you are. You know, from time to time, we talk, hear about folks who are asked, "So who are you?" And one of the things that they say time and time again is, most particularly men define ourselves by what we do for a living. Who are you? Well, let me tell you how I earn my living. But the truth is, when you ask that question, who are you? The first answer ought to be, I am a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am a believer, a Christian. The Bible says it this way, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Paul gives you four requirements for living out your faith. The first thing he says is you have to have a worthy walk. That is, you live to bring glory to God. You ask yourself this question, so, am I living in such a way that if Jesus returned right now, I would be glad to see Him? If He came right now and I was doing what I was doing, would I say, Lord, I am so glad You're here at this moment, at this time? It reminds me sometimes of what happens when you're in your house and maybe you've been neglectful for a while and things aren't as straight as they ought to be, and all of a sudden the doorbell rings and there's no time to do anything to straighten up the house before somebody comes in to see the way you really live. Of course, unless you live with Judith, who always has things spotless and exactly right, in spite of her husband. That's what it means to have a worthy walk. To have a worthy walk means I live my life out in such a way that at any moment, in any time, with whoever I'm with and whatever's going on, I'm okay with them knowing I'm a believer. I like the way John Maxwell said it one time. He said this, you don't have to tell everybody you meet that you're a follower of Jesus Christ. But nobody who finds out you're a follower of Jesus Christ should ever be surprised. Isn't that good? Isn't that true? A worthy walk. And then the second thing he says is this, and fully pleasing Him. The great question of your life becomes, what does Jesus think? What does Jesus think about me right here, right now? What does He think about my character? Oh, I know we all used to have those little rubber, what would Jesus do, bracelets that we wore, but sometimes we need to stop and look at our own lives and how we're relating to people and what we're doing and where our priorities are, and simply look and say, you know, what does Jesus think about this? How does He feel about the way I'm living? Some people believe that if you're going to be a serious Christian, then that's a matter of keeping all the rules. As long as I keep the rules, as long as I show up where I'm supposed to go, as long as I do what I'm supposed to do, as long as I look the way I'm supposed to look, as long as I act the way I'm supposed to act, as long as I keep all the rules, then I must be a good Christian. But you know, when you're living and simply saying, is the Lord pleased with me? You don't have to worry about the rules. The rules will take care of themselves, because after all, it's all about pleasing the one you love the most. Makes me think about what it means to be married as a husband or a wife. You seldom look at your spouse and say, okay, you have to love me because I'm keeping all the rules. I'm showing up at the right time. I'm saying the right words. I'm acting the right way. After all, you have to love me because I'm keeping all the rules. But when you realize they really love me, my wife, my husband loves me because I love them, then you don't worry about the rules. You live your life together, and it's a wonderful thing. And the same thing is true about your walk with the Lord Jesus. As long as I am pleasing Him, trying to fully please Him, I don't have to worry about the rules. The Lord will take care of things. And then the third thing he says is this, and you are to be fruitful. Let your relationship with Christ guide your relationship with others. When I was a little boy, there was a song that somebody sang in my church all the time. You know, there used to be that time when you heard those special solo songs, and they seemed to come up about once every 6 weeks. And there was a lady in my church that loved to sing the song. The name of the song was Just Jesus and Me. Some of you may remember that song. Maybe you don't. Just Jesus and Me. The thing is, life is never about just Jesus and you. It's about Jesus and you and other people. There is no evidence in the Bible for living a solitary spiritual life. There's no evidence in the Bible that says it's just Jesus and me, and we're the only two that matter, and as long as I have a great relationship with Him, everything is fine. The Lord tells us we are to be fruitful. And if you're going to be fruitful, that means other people have to be part of the equation. God has saved you so that you can touch the lives of the people around you. Your real testimony is your influence, and your influence comes from your investment in other people around you. And you bear fruit when you leave a trail of faith and encouragement and love and grace behind you wherever you go. The thing about spiritual fruit is that it should always be more evident to others than it is to yourself. What am I saying? I'm saying this. It's one thing for me to ask you, are you living a spiritually fruitful life? And you might say, you know, I feel pretty good about things. I'm a better Christian than most people. You know, I do the right things. I show up at the right places. I don't do the things I'm not supposed to do. I think my life is pretty fruitful. And that's okay. But the real test is when folks ask the people around you who know you well, who are around you day to day, are they living a spiritually fruitful life? And that's where the water hits the wheel. Are they living in such a way that you see the evidence of Jesus in their lives? Because that's where the real us comes out. The real us comes out when the people who are always around you recognize the presence of Christ within you. And that's what it means to live a spiritually fruitful life. And then he says this, and growing in Christ. Maturity is essential. The Bible says increasing in the knowledge of God. And this time, he's not talking about head knowledge. This time, Paul is talking about heart knowledge, personal experience. Paul uses the term epignosis, which means full and complete knowledge. It goes back to that same picture of what it means to be married. You know, when you marry someone, you stand before the preacher, you stand on the altar, and you think to yourself, I know everything about them. You know, we have loved one another, we've gotten to know one another, we've spent time with one another, we've decided we want to spend a lifetime together. I know everything there is to know about them. But then, as you share life, you learn how to really trust one another. They see you inside and out. They know who you are all the time. And you grow in a deeper knowledge and a deeper love that comes from the time you've spent together. All of those things are part of an epignosis relationship with one another. And the Bible says we're to have an epignosis relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, an all-over experience. I grow in the knowledge of God because I learn He really is faithful. I learn He truly is compassionate. I learn He never will leave me and He won't forsake me. I learned when I need him the most, he's there. I learned that even in the darkest places, he can bring the light. And the more I know him and the more I trust him, the more I grow in a knowledge, a personal knowledge, a real experience of Jesus. To live what you believe means the last day of your walk with Christ should be the most personal and obedient day of your life. So that if you are someone who has known and walked and proclaimed and shared Christ for 90 years, that 90 plus one day should be a deeper relationship, a deeper epignosis of Jesus than all of those days before. And when the final day comes, to recognize, and I knew him better that last day than I'd ever known him before. And then Paul tells us this. He says, Christian character is transparent for all to see. He says, the Father has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. And it's that last term that makes so much difference. In the light. Where everybody can see. And it's completely transparent. Nothing's hidden. Open to everyone. No attempt to deflect or to disguise. People respond to that which is real in you. And Colossians describes qualities that reveal transparency. When you are transparent, you genuinely depend upon the Lord. They are strengthened with all might. When you have real transparency, you live with a grateful heart. No spirit of entitlement, but a heart that is filled with giving thanks to the Father. When you are a transparent person, you reveal a caring spirit with patience and long-suffering, with joy. When you're living a transparent faith, you display a track record of faith. One who walks worthy of the Lord. Paul challenges us to live a transparent life. Let people see what is real in you. Don't try to hide it. Don't try to disguise it. Let it shine. Let it be like the light. No darkness. All light. So, what is Paul telling us? Let me sum it all up. He says, Christian character reveals a heart that is committed for the long run. And we know it when we see it. And we're called to embrace it. And we're commanded to reveal it. Most of all, and it is a lifetime calling. There never comes that point where you say to yourself, you know what? I've grown as far as I'm going to grow. I love him as much as I'm ever going to love him. I have completed the task. I am all that I am supposed to be. Always we're wondering, what's next? How much more can I know him? How much more deeply can I love him? How much more obediently can I serve him? What is next? I don't know a lot about what Dr. Carter was feeling this past Friday. But I can guarantee you this. He didn't walk out that day and say, well, okay, that was a wonderful time, and now I'm done. I can guarantee you he was saying, and now I get to serve him in my 9th decade. And that's the challenge all of us have. That there never is that time when you think, I've grown enough, I love him enough, I've served him enough, now I can sit back and relax. There's always more. But it begins with a personal faith in Jesus. And maybe you're here today and you don't have that faith. Maybe all of these things you're hearing about Christian character, they sound like, okay, maybe this is a checklist that I need to follow and not a personal experience of what it means to be in a relationship with the one who loved me the most, who gave himself for me, and who invites me to trust him and follow him for all eternity. And if you're here today and you're not a believer, that's God's call on your life. Trust Jesus. And if you need to become a Christian today, in a minute we're going to stand and we're going to sing an invitation hymn, and I'm going to be right here. You come to me and I'll introduce you to the Savior. Or after the service is done, you find a member of our staff and you say, you know what? I really think it's time for me to trust Jesus. We'll help you know Him. Maybe God's calling you to be part of this church family because this is where you can grow your Christian character. This is where you can show your Christian character. This is where you serve Him the most. Maybe there's something else God's calling you to do. We're going to stand. We're going to sing. As God speaks, you come. Let's stand together. Day to be in God's house. I'm glad that you came out in cool weather to be here together. Remember, tonight we won't be doing services so that you can stay bundled up indoors, but Triple L group, remember, you've got lunch coming between now and then, so after the service is done, you just make your way downstairs and have a wonderful time together and enjoy the afternoon. It's been good to be with you in God's house. Let's pray together for one final prayer. And then a last song. Father, we do want to pray, Lord, that you help us to live out our lives with Christian character that reflects not people who are keeping the rules, but people who are following Jesus and trusting Him and pleasing Him and growing in the knowledge of Him. Lord, help us to be everything you've called us to be so that Jesus might be glorified through our lives. And we pray in His name. Amen.